the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
You have such a beautiful smile. Do you?
And I don't like smiling.
You should love smiling. Look at that. It takes so many muscles in your face to frown, honey. It only takes a few to smile. So smile. Everything you get, life is worth smiling for. You know, do you chew those that bark there in Jamaica for your teeth? What is it called? I can't think
of it. Oh, yes. I haven't seen it in a while. We call it chew sticks. That's what we call it. We call it the chew stick.
Do you use the chew stick just, you know, for fluoride, or do you use it to stop smoking?
Well, when I used to use it, when I could get just to keep your teeth white.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's beautiful.
Because it helps to keep your teeth white. So that was it. And it also freshens your breath.
Yes. Well.
And I haven't seen it in a while.
Well, I see it at this, you know, my little store where I go that has all of my little ethnic cultural things.
Excuse me?
Yeah, well, I chewed it a few times when I tried to quit smoking years ago. And it worked,
yes.
You know, because it's a fixation when you're smoking, you know, you got to have this going on.
And some.
Yeah, but I'm so glad that I stopped smoking. But I'm so glad.
Me too.
But I'm glad you're smoking hot here with me on the Edge. Look at that beautiful smile, Blaze. Look who's here. Jessica Crooks from Jamaica. I am so glad to have her here. We're going to talk about just being a dream catcher and not a dream crusher. So much is going on in the world. There's so much good that we can do. Okay. And it only takes one person to do one thing, to turn everything around. So we're going to talk about her dreams. We're going to talk about her work. We're going to talk about her life in Jamaica. We're going to talk about her being one of nine children. You talk about pecking order. What is that like? I don't know. I grew up pretty much as an only child. I couldn't imagine having eight other siblings. I probably had to break their neck. So Brains, help me welcome her to the Edge, Jessica Crooks. How are you?
I am great. Thank you so much, April. I've been looking forward to chatting with you for quite a while.
I know. I'm so glad to have you. Tell my Brains a little bit about you and what you are doing in one of my favorite countries in the world.
My favorite country, Jamaica, my little rock. In this decade, I've been a librarian. I love words. I love books. I love knowledge. So I started out as a librarian. I'm also a records manager. And one of my dreams is to help and to see people reading and learning. I tend to give kids books for gifts. You know how our kids these days don't like reading?
Oh, no.
And because I'm from a family of nine. There are nine of us, so I have lots of nephews and nieces, and many of them are still young. So I used to start out giving them books. And one of the things I can tell you about reading and books, when my mom died, even though there were nine of us, she died when she was 49. Mm. So most of us weren't grown, and we grew each other, basically. Yeah. But it brought us closer together, so it was fantastic there being eight other siblings. We supported each other, and even today, every opportunity we get, we come together and we spend time and we laugh and we have fun.
So you pretty much...
I like to write.
Let me ask you a question. So you pretty much, grew each other up. You were each other's parent. At one point, somebody would had to...
Yes, we were.
Wow. That's a lot of responsibility. And
yes,
living in a place like Jamaica is not, like an urban city. It's more a lot of landscape, a lot of yard, so a lot of rural. Sometimes it's a lot of poverty. But what I noticed about the people in Jamaica is that I don't care how little you have, it seems like the least amount that you have, the happier you are. Everything is no problem. Everything is, no problem. And I was like, no problem? No, I don't care what it was. It was not a problem. And so grateful and so gracious. When we came to Jamaica for a vacation holiday, my daughter was having trouble reading and having problems in school. And she came and she saw the little girls there and how pristine their uniforms were. And their socks were crisp white and their shoes were but shiny, patent leather. And they walked. They walked 4 or 5 miles to get to school. And they were so proud. And when Chanel came back, it completely turned her life around. At a little age, she was 9 years old, she saw the value in that. So I can only imagine what it was like to raise one another as siblings, you know, because I'm sure that it was tough for your father and, you know, other kids.
It was, but you see, one of the good things about Jamaicans is that we support each other. So neighbors would sometimes check in to make sure everything was fine. And they would want to find out if any of the girls need some help with the combing of their hair and that sort of thing. And that's one of the things why I love Jamaican Jamaicans. We tend to look out for each other when there really is a need. And right now, as I'm saying, that one of the things I'm trying to do is to set up a resource center to help kids, because there's so many children who need help with homework. They need laptops, they need tablets, because with the COVID, it's very, very difficult for some parents, especially single parent mothers, to find these things. So one of my dreams is to set up a resource center or to help a resource center so they can provide some guidance and a place for these children.
Exactly. And it's, you know, it's the camaraderie. It's the sense of community. It's the sense of giving back. And that's so important when you are a dream catcher. So you say that you were a librarian. And so what do you do now as a career?
Now I do indexing. I was not too long ago a property manager. Yes, and I enjoyed it. I like climbing onto roofs and looking to see what kind of damages there are and what needs to be done. But my love is, because I love words so much, I love to proofread and I love to index. That is part of my passion. But I have many passions, because I'm also helping women as much as I can to have a better relationship with money so that they can manage. Financial independence is so important to me. And I see so many hardworking Jamaican women trying to take care of their children, but they have a poor relationship with money. And therefore, they are not managing what they have. So they're constantly in debt. And they're always paying a loan because that's the only way they can see to survive. So that's another passion. So words and helping my fellow Jamaican women to manage and to find who they are.
Exactly. Well, you know, that was a big problem here in the United States. Probably still is for some people. These predatory lenders, loan sharks, hustlers, slicksters, okay, where you get $100 and they charge you $250. And you can never get out of that. So what women need to learn is to how to make money work for you instead of you working for the money. But once you are caught up in this trap, you don't see any way out because you got to keep putting it back in to get it back out, okay? But there is opportunities. Number one is financial literacy. And number two is to put a
little important
jar. I don't care if you have $20, $5 of that needs to go to the side every time. Because if you don't have your own money, you are a victim. You are a victim of society. You are a victim of your partner. You are a victim of low self-esteem. Money is nothing but a vehicle.
You're a victim of your bosses.
That's right. You're a slave. No, you're a slave to them.
Your bosses will take step with you. Yeah. Because they know you need the job, so
They know you.
I have a number of nieces, and most of them are now teenagers or in their early 20s. And even yesterday, I was saying, no matter what you earn, please put aside a little piece. Just take out, before you even think of the hair and your nails, take a little part and put it aside as investment. It is something that I'm singing, because I've said to them, generational poverty should end with my generation. There's enough out there for all of us. I'm not going to die poor. I've made up my mind that I'm not going to die poor, but I'm taking them along with me, because they have to learn the value of money. They have to learn how to save. They have to learn how to invest. My mother, and these days I wonder how she did it with nothing, basically. But she saved. So she taught us how to save from when we were tiny. I was making my own money from I was six.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother taught us how to save. Unfortunately, she didn't know about investing.
Well,
so while she didn't know about investing, she taught me how to cut and carve, as we used to call it.
Hmm.
And that is what I'm trying to get my nieces and other young ladies and older women to, because I found that we as a society think that once someone is over 40, then they have no purpose. You don't need to work with them. But one of my dreams, April, is to have a scholarship fund for women over 40, because lots of them are brilliant and they would love to go back to school, but nobody is giving funding to those ladies. And I would love, desperately love to be able to say, I have this scholarship fund naming my mother, and it is for women over 40, 60, if they want to go back to school, so they can go and learn a skill and develop themselves, because age really is a number. In Jamaica, I see a lot of grandmothers raising their grandkids. I see women at 80 and 90 going to the farm to do their thing, and they're fit and they're healthier than I am. So we need to look and help each other. And I have a burning desire to help.
Well, you know, it's a culture there too. Yes, I'm calling out you Jamaican men, you fine suckers. Yes, big dark chocolate men, just wonderful. But you love too many women. You got baby everywhere. And you know, you're not supplying education for them. And so that is a part of the problem. So young women, be careful about that. There's a thing called birth control. Okay? And yes, I said it.
Oh, yes.
There's nothing wrong with pleasure.
That is true.
But you don't have to come up with a baby, because that is going to handicap you. If you can't take care of yourself, you cannot take care of your child. And he's out there taking care of some other woman. Okay? So, you know, if that's how it goes down, that's how it goes down. But there's no need for that. And young women, you need to be self-sustainable. It's nice to have some hair. It's nice to have some nails. But you better trade off between girlfriends and getting your hair done and getting your nails done, because that is not a necessity. To have food on your table, to have electricity, to have a roof over your head, that is what you need to be focused on. And women like Jessica are dedicating their life to make sure that you are okay. Now, you talk a lot about education. What is the educational system like there in Jamaica?
I'm guessing some persons are going to be not hearing you. I see. It has changed a bit, but I still see that we have an almost apartheid system of education. It's sad, but it is true. So you have those schools which are traditionalized schools where the wealthier people kids tend to go. You have people from the inner city and poorer kids go there. But most of our kids are brilliant, but these traditionalized schools, there are not a lot of them. So a lot of kids are not able to attend these top of the line schools. So they attend secondary school. Some still come out and do well, because one of the things Jamaican parents love to push, and my parents, God bless George McCurdy, my father, he used to tell me that you're a little black girl and education is what is going to make you become something. He said, your looks alone is not going to do it, education. So it is something that a lot of Jamaican parents push. You must learn, you must go to school, and you must do well. COVID, though, has caused a big problem. There's a big divide, and I see a whole generation of kids who will be lost unless we get help for them to assess the technology, to do the schoolwork, because a lot of them just cannot be online. They have no tablets, they have no internet. Some don't even have electricity. And it worries me greatly. I know the government has a program they call Tablets in School, and I know that some corporate entities are doing something about it, but it's not enough.
Right.
Just yesterday, a lady called to say, Miss Mark, can you help me? My son have no tablet. I don't know what to do. And I called her on. I think I'm going to get a tablet for him, but that's just one child.
Right, right.
Out of thousands.
But if they have a great resource center, then that way they come into it and you don't, you know, you can check it out. There's a lot of responsibility with that, but there's a lot of companies out there. Okay, Brains, I'm putting a call out, a shout out to you. Okay, you work for corporations or you have some extra resources, or you actually have some tablets at your house that you know you have upgraded and you could strip all the information off of that, pack it up and send it to Jessica. Okay, let's do that. There are cell phones.
That's what
that when we change our cell phone, I take mine right to the domestic women's shelter for abused women so that they have a cell phone. So I know that you, as a matter of fact, I'm gonna look and see what I have, because I know, man, you know what? I just thought about that. I do have a tablet. Okay, that you can probably use. Yeah, I'm gonna get it and pack it up. So I'll be the first one. You know, I don't just talk to talk. I walks to walk.
Oh, boy.
Okay. So let's help her out.
Oh, that would be fabulous.
To get, you know, get them out. They don't have to be brand new. Make sure they're in good condition and make sure that all of your confidential information has been removed off of that and that the battery is still good and you have the charger. And get this out to these kids because they really, really need it. And the thing is, Brains, is they appreciate education. You don't have to force them to want to learn. They want to. So if you have great books,
they do.
Yeah, if you have great books, you can send them. You know, it's expensive sometimes to get all these brand new resources, but it is brand new to the person who's never read it, who's never touched it. And so it's so important. You also said about you wanted to help women over 40. There's a wisdom that comes to you at 40.
Yes.
Also with an increase in your libido, but that's a whole nother show. But you know,
that's another show.
But there's a wisdom that comes after the age of 40. And so I really hope that you find value in that, young women. Okay. Cause we've lived your life 2-3 times. We know more than you know. And so we want to pour into you so that you are smarter for the next generation, because this world is changing. What has this COVID taught you, Jessica?
You know, interestingly, one of the things that I've learned is how much it's important to be each other's keeper, to be our brother's keeper. Because when I keep safe, then I help to keep others safe. And I've had family members who have been seriously impacted by COVID. So I know the value of doing what needs to be done. I know the value of sharing. Recently, a lady called. I get a lot of these. I don't know why people think that I have, because I do also have to, as we say, Jamaica, make ends meet. And she was crying. She had no food because her job, she lost her job because of COVID. And she lived with her daughter who had to stop university. She's doing law because she has no money. Brilliant young lady. I had to go to my cupboard and I had to, when I was taking out things, even things that there weren't a lot, I was crying and I was like, COVID has really taught me that I do have a lot. So when I look in my, I thought it was empty, but when I start putting together this bag for this lady, I realized that what gratitude really is. Because, you know, at times I would say, oh boy, things could be better, I wish, but I've learned gratitude through COVID. And I've seen where a lot of persons are coming more together now. We have kind of lost some of that, and I see it coming back, where Jamaicans are calling to say, how are you? How are things doing? Is there anything I can do for you? I've seen corporate Jamaica stepped up in a number of instances to send tablets to schools. As I said, there are thousands of kids. So it's not enough, nowhere near enough, but they are doing a little bit. So COVID has taught me how to be self-reliant as well. Because things I would normally run to the shop to buy, I don't do that. I try to do it at home. And it has made me gone back to farming. I love gardening, but with COVID, I have now started planting back my tomato and some. Yeah, COVID has brought back some skills that's right. I had stopped using. I've heard a number of persons say they've started planting. Just because of COVID, they're not home. Nothing to do. They have gone to backyard gardens. Lady told me she bought a machine. She used to sew it back when. Now that she's home, she has bought a machine. And she is amazed how much she's enjoying it. Mm-hmm. So COVID, it has had its good moments. I have started writing again. I'd stopped writing poems for years. But now I just find that the creativity is coming because you have more time, you know, to commune with yourself and with your God, whoever you seem to be, and to find yourself. And there are lots of opportunities in COVID. I've been telling persons, I don't always believe that you have to be employed by a corporation. And the more things change with COVID and companies are closing, I'm saying to the young people, and even persons who have been working and are close to retirement, and I said, don't stress, you have skills. Look at your resume. See what your skills are. Find what you can do for yourself. So COVID is showing a lot of persons that, guess what? I can be self-reliant. I can be my own boss. So it has been bad. We have our moments, but it has also been a blessing in disguise in some ways.
It is, because it's the perfect pause. It's time for self-reactivation, you know, how to engage yourself, to look at those skills. You know, you can make a dollar out of 15 cents. Oh, yes, you can. You know, that you look at some of the gourmet meals that we still eat to this day as a Black culture, from the scraps of the pig, you know, from the feet of the chicken. I had my Korean friend gave me some fried chicken feet. I had never had that before, and they was good.
We Jamaicans like curried chicken foot.
Oh, really?
It is good. Yes, we curried the chicken foot.
Y'all curry everything, and it'd be good. You know, and the rum is good. I love that. But there's a lot of wisdom there. You know, Jamaica is a country of strong people. There is a lot of challenges that you've always faced, but there's always been a deep religious base. I know when I was there, see, Brains, you don't know this. You guys think that the Rastafarian is just something, somebody's cute that plays good music, but there is a deep culture. There is a deep spiritual root in that. So when they're smoking the ganja, they're not just doing it to get high. It's metaphoric in a lot of these places. I know my driver said, oh, no, you won't get out and take pictures here. You take your pictures from inside the car. You mind your own business, because it's something different. But there's also a very deep Jehovah Witness community too. I didn't really realize it was that many witnesses there. So there's there's a deep faith in Christianity, but God will carry us through. He always has, and he always will. You know, what COVID has taught me is to keep my eyes open and keep my eye on the prize, to be grateful for what I have. I've met so many wonderful people. I've embraced my own self-doubt, my own immortality, because it can happen to any of us. I've come to the realization that I am not in control, even if I'm driving the car. The car belongs to somebody else. So there's a lot of learning that has been in this for all of us. And I'm so glad that you are there as a pillar of strength for others. But as I've explained to you before, they can't just call you and ask for something. If they ask you for something, they must bring something in exchange. Okay, you can sew, bring a couple dresses, I'll give you this. The barter and the trade, sometimes you don't need money. Sometimes money gets in the way. But if there are resources they have, and education is key, I want to see, you know, this resource center full of women running things outside of the household or trying to look cute for these men. Don't do that, young women. Okay, you've got a life to live. You've got a strong a country that is still pretty much run by Black people. Is there a white government over there? Because, you know, white folks be taking over the planet. Is a white government?
No, it isn't. It is a Black government. It's run by Black people.
Yeah.
I mean, you do have some mixed persons in parliament. I'm trying to think. I think there might be just one white person in parliament who's white, and he's married to a Black Jamaican, have been married for maybe 30 years. So he's very Jamaican, really, but it's a Black government.
Yeah, because I follow this one particular page on Facebook. I think it's Jamaica So Nice. And it was really, I was looking at some of the things they were talking about, the politicians and this wearing of the mask. They are not down with wearing the mask. They say that the earth, the herbs, and the sun will protect them. What is it like over there? Is the COVID spreading? You know, I don't know. It might work.
Yes, it is. I've stopped, but it is spreading again. So we do have a spike. I think we are now at 200 deaths. But the government is pushing the wearing of the mask. They are pushing it, and I'm seeing where they are now starting to wear it as well.
Wait, you said
so
you
had, in public spaces, about, you are supposed to.
I'm sorry, you said you had about 200 deaths?
This morning I read we are now at 200 deaths from COVID. Yeah, so it has gotten out of hand.
We've got over 200,000.
Yeah, but we are talking about a population less than 3 million. So when you look at it statistically, that's quite a lot.
It's really crazy. And then the healthcare system, what is healthcare like in Jamaica? Is it socialized or, you know, do you have to pay to play? Because there's a lot of countries that if you don't have
care, there are
no service.
We have public hospitals, but they are really burdened. And if you need to get certain surgeries, depending on what, it will take a long time because you have to be on this list. But our public health system is not bad. It really is not bad. It's just overburdened because the doctors, there are just so many persons going in needing help because there are a lot of poor people in Jamaica, to be honest. And then we do have very good private hospitals, but they are expensive. The good thing is that we tend, for those persons who are employed, they have good health insurance.
Right.
But the majority of Jamaicans do not have health insurance, so they have to go to the public health centers.
So if you're employed with the, you know, company, say the company that you work with, most of them do provide health insurance as well?
Most provide health insurance. For most companies now, you as the worker will pay a portion. Your employer will pay more than you do. So they may pay 60%, you pay 40%. There are a few companies that pay 100% for the staff member, and then you pay for your co-dependent a portion of.
Oh, okay. All right. Does that include dental?
And that can be helpful. Dental and optical, but the dental and optical is normally lumped together. So it's never enough because it's very, optical is extremely, extremely expensive in Jamaica.
Why is that? Is that
because I have friends that they travel to the U.S. to change their glasses when they need to. They wait, they get their prescription, then they come to the U.S. and get the glasses.
Wow. So it's, you know, it's all over the world, brains, you know, struggling to try to stay alive and to survive and to thrive. Well, Jessica, you are just a winner. And I'm going, actually, again, I don't know why I didn't think about that before, because I'm doing some housekeeping and cleaning. So do you need some cell phones too?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm a...
Oh, yes, we do. Some classes are being held on WhatsApp because not all the primary schools especially have internet. So they use the data network and therefore they're having classes on WhatsApp and sending. So yes, cell phones are also needed.
Let me ask you one other thing. You said about
any kind of electronic devices.
You said something too about.
Sorry, go again.
Okay, you had mentioned also something about electricity. Do you have rolling blackouts?
Yes, some kids don't. Not anymore. It's not that bad anymore. Periodically, you have where the power goes. But there are still some areas in today, 2020, there are still some areas without electricity. And solar is so very expensive because in those areas, it should be easy to put up some solar towers and have these people getting electricity. So there are kids who don't have electricity where they live. They have never had electricity. I read last week where a lady, she used a part of her bar. She has internet and electricity. She has set up a little section with some stools so the kids can come in at a particular time during the day to do their schoolwork because they have no light at home, no electricity. And then electricity is extremely, extremely expensive. So that is also a problem.
Yeah, but it, you know what? Problems are there to be solved. And I know some big brain people, and let's get together. Ladies, let's show what we are working with. Let's put our money where our mouth is. Let's work with Jessica and try to get some solar panels and get some equipment to these kids. Yes, I'm putting a call out to you because you're sitting there looking cute when you could be sitting there doing some work, okay? And we're about to get busy. We're gonna help you out any way that we can. And so I'm so glad that you are here with me on the edge. Where you at? You right here. Yeah, right there. Okay, right here. And we are going to do everything that we can to help you out. Thank you so much for being on the edge with me, you big old dream catcher, you. I love you.
Love you too. Thank you so much, April. It has been so, so good. And I hope one day I can come back and give you an update on all of the great things that have happened because you have been here to help me to live some of my dream and to help my people.
Yeah, well, girl, look, you ain't going to
really appreciate you.
We're not going to be on this internet. I'm coming to Jamaica and get me some of them curry chicken feet.
There you go. And some rum.
It rum, right, absolutely. So
Thank you, April. Before
we close, tell my brains how to get in contact with you so they can, if they have. Now look, brains, don't be sending stuff that you just, you know, just trying to throw out. You need to have the battery pack, you need to have the charger, and you need to be sure that you take off all your information if you are going to send any electronic devices anywhere for anybody. Jessica is going to give you verbally her information now, but I'm going to put it down at the bottom and there will be a place that you can, I think it goes where? Does it go directly to Jamaica or goes to Florida and then it comes to you?
Okay, so there are two ways that we can do this. It can come to Jamaica and it can go to Florida. So I have two ways that I do get things. So if persons need to email me, they can email me at jmccurdycrooks@gmail.com. That is my easiest email to get to.
Okay.
Now, if they're sending things to Jamaica, then they can, I'm trying to figure out which is the easier one. Really and truly, which is easier?
Probably the easiest one is to have it go to Florida. Have it go to Florida and then ship to you. But if they are like in the UK or if they're in Canada, it might be easier to send it directly to Jamaica. What do you think?
What I'm working out while we speak in April is to figure out in terms of customs duty because, listen, even with these things, our custom duties and fees are ridiculous. Can I tell you? It is absolutely ridiculous. I don't know why it has to be. But they can send things to Florida. If they're sending it through Florida, which might be the easiest thing for most persons, it is at 1 Aeropost Way. So it's 1 Aeropost Way, King, 2614 Miami, Florida, 33206.
Okay. And we'll put that down at the bottom. And you know what, brains? If you send something, can you send maybe like $20 to cover the shipping costs and the custom costs? because, you know, everybody's trying to get it.
And they could also put that it's a gift. So they put that it's a gift and send something to me to say, we're sending these tablets for the kids in Jamaica, and it is a gift. That will also help. It will help to reduce some of the fees.
Okay. And be sure, like I said, friends, that you send the charger and that you send any cables or cords, because, you know, if they get in and they can't use it, and then they got to go online and something is out of stock or it's no longer being manufactured, it's obsolete, they can't use it. Okay. So be sure that you send it.
That is true.
Be sure that you send it complete. And I thank you in advance for your generosity, for your love, for your
support. I thank you too.
I do. All right, Brains, please go and subscribe. That's what you can do for me. You can help me out. Go and subscribe to YouTube, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Blog Talk, iTunes, all over the planet. I'm here. On the edge. I'm here. Not for me, but for you, because I'm loving you and everything that you do. I love you, Jessica. I'll talk to you soon, baby. I'm watching.
Thank you so much. You take care, April. God bless.
All right.
Bye.